start today, the Thoroughway in Northwest London, in conjunction with Haderech and Beis HaMedrash Knesset Yecheskel. Friday, 4th of Sivan, 3rd of June, 48th day of the Omer, Rabbi Nachman Seltzer, Shlita, Plony Almoni, the man, the mission.
Good morning, everybody. It's very nice to be back at the start of the Torah Way. I have to tell you, I haven't traveled since the beginning of Corona. I haven't left Eretz Yisrael. This is the first time I'm traveling, so it's first speech out of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, to start the Torah Way. It's very chashuv. And it's still not in the regular location, I see, but it's very nice to be here. It's beautiful. Yesterday I was passing by this building. I was looking around. I said, how did this building get here? I suddenly see this beautiful building in the middle of gold. It's green. Beautiful. Baruch Hashem. So we're going to talk about Plony Almoni today. The man, the mission, who's Plony Almoni? An enigmatic person. What did he do? What happened? What was the opportunity that came his way, which he lost? Okay, so who is this person? It's not very clear who his name is. We do have a mefarshim that say who his name is. But we call him Plony Almoni. And he becomes the epitome of what we would call the Mr. Anonymous. He's Mr. Anonymous. Who is he? He's the closest relative to Elimelech. Elimelech died, left land. Elimelech saw Machlon also died. He has a widow, her name is Rus. And because he's the closest member of the Mishpacha, Plony Almoni has the right to redeem the land and to marry Rus and thereby ensure the spiritual continuity of Elimelech's Mishpacha. What happens to Plony Almoni? He turns down the opportunity. And then the next closest relative, whose name is Boaz, redeems the land and marries Rus. So now, what's the reason Plony Almoni turns down this opportunity? What's the reason? The answer is, because he doesn't want to marry her because she is a convert from the people of Moab. She's a Moabite convert. And the Torah says it's usur for a Jew to marry a convert of Moab. However, there's the tradition that this issue only applies to men, right? But it's mutter to marry a female convert. There were still people who claimed that the prohibition also applied to female converts. Even at the time of David HaMelech, Doimi gets up and he attempts to prove from logic that the prohibition does apply to female Moabites as well. And the controversy will only stop years later. And here we had a machloikis in Shir back in MDY. Who exactly stood up to say that it's really okay to do this? Was it Amasa ben Yeser? Was it? Who was it? The Maisa, most people say it's Amasa ben Yeser, who said he had a tradition from Shmuel HaNavi that there's Allah Lamash Mesinai, that the prohibition only applies to men of Moab. However, at the time of Rus' conversion, there was still some controversy. And Plony did not want to marry her because he was afraid that what's going to happen? What was he afraid of? We have to understand. What was his fear? He was afraid that his children would be ruined if they came from her. Boaz has no fears. He's not afraid of this. He marries Rus. And what comes out of this? What's the Tzitzah? He ends up being the great-grandfather of Mashiach. You understand what's going on over here? Plony Almoni has the opportunity to become the grandfather of Mashiach. He's afraid to do it because why? Because his children, something's happened to his children. You understand? The opposite of, he was afraid that something's going to happen to his children, which is exactly the opposite. Really, his children would have been the greatest children. But because he's afraid, for whatever reason, we have to understand why. What he's afraid of. Therefore, he ends up missing this opportunity. And, yes?
Could not Plony Almoni have married in Yibum, Normi, not Rus?
So why are we talking about Normi? Why Rus? Because Rus died without, because Machlon died without children. Therefore, he has to marry Rus. That's the one, right? Children. She doesn't have children, you have to carry on the line. Machlon is the one who dies without children, and therefore, to carry on the line for Elimelech and for his children, as the Mefarshim tell us, that would have been a Gilgal, a son that he would have had together with Machlon, would have been a Gilgal of Machlon's neshama, therefore it would have continued the line of Elimelech, it would have been a big chesed. But Plony Almoni says, I don't want this, for whatever reason. We're going to go into the reason why he says this. You have to understand why he turns this down. You have a big mitzvah, you have a big, tremendous opportunity. Why are you turning the opportunity? We have to understand why he did that. Why did he turn the opportunity? So we can understand. People turn Neshulachim all the time, right? People turn Neshulachim all the time for reasons. You have to understand, what was his fear? Okay. So let's come at this issue first, halachically.
And then we could comment hashkafically. So the first question is, what's the halachic motivation of Pliny? What's he afraid of? See, is it that he wants to be machmir? He says, it's to marry Rus would be a kula, would be mekel. I'm not a person who's mekel. I am going to be machmir, and I am going to marry. I'm not going to marry her because it's not going to be machmir. I'm a person who's machmir. But then if we say that that's the vart, it's very hard to say that because Boaz marries her. And Boaz is the Gadol Hador. So if you're telling me that you want to be machmir, then Boaz is the Gadol Hador. It's sure going to be machmir. So what are you worried about? So it can't be that he's partially wants to be machmir, because if he wants to be machmir, the Boaz would have been more machmir because Boaz was greater than Pliny Almighty. So just to say he wants to be machmir, it's fair to say that. So what is it? Comes along to Biskarov and he asks a question. He says like this. The reason Pliny gives for marrying Rus is shver. It's a difficult reason. He says the reason that he fears, what's he afraid of? That the children of this marriage are going to be problematic, right? Why does he come on to say that the children of this marriage are going to be problematic? Why doesn't he just say, I'm afraid to marry Rus because it's a problem for me? Why are you coming on to your children? This is the Biskarov's kasha. Why are you coming at these children and say, I don't want to marry Rus because it's a problem for me, not for my children? No, he says, I'm afraid for my children. You should be afraid for you. Forget your children. You're first. Why are you worried about your children? Worried about you. So number one, we have to understand, is he being machmir? It can't be he's being machmir, because if he's being machmir, Boaz wouldn't have done it. Number two, we have to understand, why is he bringing up his children? His children aren't b'chal negeh. It should be him. If there's a problem, then the problem is with him, not with his children. Says the Biskarov, what's going on over here? The Biskarov says it was not accepted halacha that it was mutter to marry a female convert for Moab. That was fine. So what's the problem with Pliny? Pliny believes that halacha was based on the bezin of that time's understanding of the psukim. And there's a halachic principle that if comes along in later time a bezin which is greater b'minyan later on, let's say 50 years later, will come a bezin. That's great. By the way, very, very schwer to say that, because almost never do we find that the later generations are better than the earlier generations. Always the generations earlier are better, but he's afraid. He has a chashash, he has a pacha, that maybe something's going to happen, and there's going to come along a greater bezdin, and they are going to challenge the bezdin from today. So he's afraid, comes along a greater bezdin, going to reverse the ruling of the present bezdin, and they are going to say that it's usher to marry a female convert from Moav, and what's going to come out? L'mafreya. Retroactively, his children are going to be mamzer. They'll be usher, because their grandfather or their father married someone who was usher to marry. So accordingly, he understands, he's not afraid to marry her now, because right now it's mutter. Bezdin said right now it's mutter. So he can marry her. He's not afraid of that. What's he afraid about? The future is going to come along of Bezdin, and they're going to say that let's reverse the ruling, and any children you have with Rus would be Asul Mafreya, and therefore he's afraid of his future children. Now, it's a very interesting thing. And when I was looking into this, I was going through this around every year around this time. I have certain shiurim that I look at, and what came out, I don't know if you're following the news in America, but not so long ago, when I first looked at this year, there was a big controversy in America because the Supreme Court, there was a leak. You're familiar, usually in the Supreme Court there's not leaks, but here there was a leak. What was the leak? It was the leak of a draft that the justices were thinking about overturning one of the most famous legal rulings in America, which is Roe v. Wade. And that was the ruling which allows for a woman to have an abortion. So came along a bezdin 35 years later, in America, the Supreme Court, and they said, we're going to overturn the Psak Halacha that the Bezdin gave 35 years earlier, which mattered a woman to do abortion, and now we're going to say it's also for the woman to do abortion. So I stop at a shayla. Does that mean all the women who did abortion are now chayav that they killed? They were murderers, because if we overturn the Halacha, we overturn the case, and now it comes out that it's also to do abortion. So that should be everyone who did abortion, now murderers. So you say, no. They're not murderers because they are murderers. No, for sure they're murderers. But what? It was mutter. It was legal. It was mutter. Murder them. It was according to the state of America. According to the law in America, it was mutter to be a murderer for that nekuda. But this gives us a dugma into Pliny Almighty. It's interesting. It just came out right then. I'm looking at this thing. I mean, what's Pliny Almighty thinking? Pliny Almighty is thinking, I'm afraid that, says the Biskarov, I'm afraid that's going to come a Beis Din, and the Beis Din is going to stand up and say, what happened was wrong. We're overturning this Pesach. And therefore, I don't want to do it. Now, this reminds me, I don't know if you're familiar. I wrote a book many years ago, 2004, a book came out. It was called The Edge. From this, they made a movie. And the movie, the book, deals with halachic shayla. And it's based on a true story. And the halachic shayla has to do with what we're talking about right now. Because The Edge is based on a person who was about tshuva. And he ends up going out. And when he goes out, he finds out that he's a mamzer. He finds that he's a mamzer. And therefore, he cannot get married to who he wants to get married to. And therefore, so then at all shayla, when I was writing this book, said the real story is... It's different than the way I wrote it. I had to change it to sanitize some of the things, and I'll tell you both of the other sides. What was the real story, and what I ended up writing. And I'll explain. We're going to go into it. It's very interesting. Mamash halacha lemaisa. What do you do in such a case? So what did I write? I wrote that there was a person who ends up. He's about tshuva, and he ends up going out. And when he goes out, he finds that he's a mamzer, and he can't get married. So what do we do with him? So now, what's the shas? At the time, I'm learning by Yisrael Berkowitz. I was the first 10 avreichim by the Jerusalem Kaila. And I go to him and say, okay, how do we handle this situation? Halachically, what's the best way? If you have a situation where a mamzer finds out he's a mamzer, who can he marry? Now, can he marry another mamzeris? We have a problem. What's the problem? Etzim, you can marry mamzeris, right? What's the problem? You're not allowed to bring children into the world. You can't bring mamzerim into the world. So if she's a normal person who can have children, we have a problem because he can't marry her because they can't have children. So who should he marry? Comes along, so what does our Brooklyn say? Okay, so who should he marry? The answer is he should marry a person who's a geiris who can't have children. So therefore, mamzer is allowed to marry geiris. He's not bringing children into the world because she can't have children. Therefore, we're taking care of all of the tzadim. Great, wonderful. So that's what I did. I had that happen, and then in the end, we fixed all the issues by finding out that really the first father was really adopted, was really a guy. Therefore, the first marriage never happened. Therefore, it's okay. He's not a man in the first place, and Shalom Yisrael can go back to marry the person he wanted to marry, and everyone's happy. That's what I wrote. Now, what was the real story? And the real story is very interesting. And I'm going to tell you the psak that there was a machlokes in Beis Din, and between two Beis Dins, okay, what this person should do. In the real story, which is what I couldn't write, because you can't write this in a book, you could tell this in a shir, but you can't write this in a book. What was that halach? So this person came along, and he finds that he's a mamzer. So what could he do? So there's a way to get around it for a mamzer, that a mamzer is allowed to marry a geiris who converts b'tor a shivcha. She converts herself as a shivcha. She marries him, she converts herself, I'm your shivcha. He can marry her. Then he has a kid, and he's meshachre the kid, and the kid is an eved, he's meshachre the kid, and that kid now is not a mamzer. That's a way out. Now, I wasn't going to get into that in a book. In a novel, we're not going to such a, you're not going to, this is being read by elementary school children, by high school children, we're not getting into this. It's a halachic child, it's a halachic answer. Now, came out in the real story that there was a machlokes in Beis Din because they got him off the hook. Now listen to this. Unbelievable heter that they came up with. And it's not unbelievable, it's a chiddush gadol, and it was a machlokes between two Beis Dins. And I want to get into where the machlokes happened, in which city, but there was a machlokes in between two Beis Dins. One Beis Din, the Beis Din that martyred him and said he's not a mamzer. Why? Because they said that his mother got married to someone else, right? She got married to someone else. And they said that because the first husband came around to the second, after she got remarried to someone else, the first husband came and hung around a lot by that house. Therefore, they're toiling this boy on the first husband. Because they say, because Levi Gaspar, and he's coming out to the house a lot, therefore, it's a good size of the Beis Din. Maybe not just a good side, enough of a side that they said he came from this first husband. That was the heter the Beis Din gave. The other Beis Din did not agree, and that was the machlokes. I'm definitely not putting that in a book, and that was something, again, it's a shaylah noch. Right, Rabbi Yosef Chabad. Right. So he was the first Baal, there was no get.
Yeah, but the second husband is
But he's not the Baal. The first Baal was the first Baal. He's still coming around, right? And she wasn't divorced from him. And therefore, we can say, right, Rabbi Yosachar Baal, because he's still the first husband. Okay, so that was the het of the Beis Din gave. And Lamai saw, again, this is not something you could write. And a lot of people are going to ask, why don't you just look at the DNA? But we don't do that halachically. So it's a very interesting sugya. What comes out from all of this? What comes out from all of this is that I can understand halachically, I can understand Pliny HaMoni. Pliny HaMoni say, wait a second. What's going to happen? In 20 years from now, 30 years from now, is the Beis Din going to stand up and say, excuse me, we checked this out. No, we have a problem. We don't like this. Female converts are really awesome. Sorry, Pliny HaMoni. But your children are really mamzerim. Sorry, we don't like them. You can't marry the chalon, the mamzerim, whatever they are. So players, listen, that can happen. I don't want it to happen. I'm not getting involved. It's a big opportunity. I don't want the opportunity. Lo yiv, lo yitzchor, I don't want it. Lord, player turns it down. Okay. So this is halachically speaking, was he right? You could say, maybe he was right. You could hear where he's coming from. Boaz comes and says, okay. But I want to say, Rabbi Issa, the big shiloh over here is not so much halachically, it comes out hashkafically. That's when everyone agrees he could have done it. So we have to understand, really, the big question we have to understand is, was he right or was he wrong? Was he right or was he wrong? Was he a rasha for turning the opportunity? Do we look at him as somebody who messed? How do we look at him? Halachically, hashkafically, how does the Torah, how does Jewish history, how do we look at Pliny HaMoni? And it is a big place in Jewish history. Where is this place? How do we look at it? So I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story that happened to a friend of mine. His name is Roy Neuberger. Rabbi Yisrael Roy Neuberger. I'm actually working with him. He wrote many books himself. I'm coming out with a book about him. Whatever, you'll see. And this person had an amazing opportunity. He had an opportunity. His father was Roy Neuberger, Sr. He's the founder of Neuberger Berman, big investment firm on Wall Street. And a big developer, innovator in American art, the discoverer of Jackson Pollock, big artist, a collector of art. He was such a big collector, never sold a painting. He went to Paris as a young man, wanting to become a big painter himself, big artist himself. After a few years in Paris, he realizes, I myself am not going to, I don't have the talent to be a big artist. I'm going to go back to America, I'll work in Wall Street. There, I feel I have the talent. And I'm going to be someone who supports a patron of the arts. I'm going to develop the American art scene. And he went back to America, and he did work on Wall Street, and he bet short on the Great Depression, and he made money on the Great Depression, and he did very well for himself, and he built Neuberger Berman. And so he had so many paintings that the state of New York offered to open up a museum for him. He'll donate his paintings to New York, which is called the Neuberger Museum of Art today, and you can visit it if you're ever in New York, and that's what you want to do. I myself have never gone there, but okay, if that's what your thing is, art, you can go there. Now, the point is that because of Mr. Neuberger's contribution to the arts, he was honored by President George W. Bush at the White House, going back to, I'll tell you the year exactly, it was in 2008. 2008, the president invited Roy Neuberger to the White House to give him an award for Patron of the Arts. Now, when his son, who's a Chashva Marbitz Torah, Roy Neuberger Jr., heard about this opportunity, he's going to go to the White House with his father. And the Shiloh was, what do you say to the President of America if you meet him? Now, this is always a Shiloh. It's always like one of those Shilohs, like you have to ask yourself, what would you say if you ended up meeting a man? Okay, it's in England, it's like, I don't know how Nagel and Meis it is. You don't really cross paths with the royal, out of the queen, forget the queen. But really, anybody, you don't really have much of an opportunity. But here and there, you do. What do? If you... Right, but what do you say a bracha? But what would you say to that person? What would be the message? If you have a minute now, you're speaking to somebody who's a ruler of the world, what would you say to that person? It's an opportunity. I'm looking at, we're talking about opportunity. What do you say when you have an opportunity? So this is Roy Neuberger Shiloh. I have an opportunity now, maybe. What am I going to say to the president if I meet him? So his family would like, you're not going to meet him. Don't worry about it. All his not religious relatives. But he was like, in my life, I've seen many interesting things. I feel maybe there's a chance I'll meet him. So this is what he tells me. We go to, and he said to, Roy Neuberger had a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I have the opportunity possibly to meet the American president, the most powerful man in the world. Please give me this opportunity to be Mekadashim Shemayim, allow the right words to come to my lips, allow me to speak the truth about Eretz Yisrael and the historical mission of the Jewish people. Okay. There's 1,200 people there at the White House that day. He's the only one wearing a yarmulke on his head. After he said also an interesting thing, the president, where there was a few people on the dais who were older people, and one was his father was in a wheelchair, which he pushed, and then there was another older person in a wheelchair. At one point, the Marine guard who was supposed to be pushing the wheelchair wasn't there, and the president himself pushed the wheelchair. So there's something about George W. So what happens? He says like this, the ceremony ends, and the president goes into another room, and his Roy says to his wife, the president is not going to come into the dining room where everybody went. I feel like we need to go back and I want to speak to the president. I feel like if I'm going to miss him if I don't go back to where we were before. So he starts going back towards where they were before, and they're in this big, there's like a big corridor between these two rooms, one where the actual event happened and one where everyone went to like a dining room. In the middle, there's this big room, and Roy goes back into the big room. Suddenly, he says, I saw a door opening in the wall 80 feet away. The president emerges from the door, surrounded by Secret Service. And he's leaving the White House. He's going. Off he goes. It happens to be that me and my wife are standing right in front of the door that he's going to leave the White House. So we're right in his path. Now, they're moving quickly. They're going to get in the way of the president. Yeah. Sorry, Mr. President. Stop where you are. There's something I want to tell you. You can't do that. So, okay, Hashem has to intervene over here. But don't worry, if it's supposed to happen, something will happen. So just as George Bush reaches Roy Neuberger, somebody stops the president to someone who works in the White House, and he starts talking to the president. The president's standing, mamish close to Roy Neuberger. Baruch Shalom, he says. The president's standing beside me. Put the words in my mouth. So the president finishes talking. Roy Neuberger, quietly, you know, he doesn't need to speak in a loud voice. The president's standing right there. He says to him, Mr. President, listen to what he says to him. Listen to this. Can I give you a blessing? He doesn't want to tell you something. Can I give you a bracha, Mr. President? The president turns around. He looks like he really wants a bracha. By the way, at this time, it's nearing his second term in office, and everybody is criticizing him for going into Iraq. He was looking for the weapons of mass destruction, didn't find any. Everyone's making fun of him. He's mamish on the end of criticism beyond, can't even imagine. Mr. President, he says, I want to tell you why you're getting so much flack. The president is like very interested. The reason you're getting so much flack is because you believe in God. You have moral standards. You believe in right and wrong. Many people out there are not at your level. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in morality. And they want to pull you down to the level. And that's why you're getting so much criticism. Mr. President, you are the most powerful person in the world at the time when the children of Israel are returning to their land after 2,000 years as foreseen by the biblical prophets. You have been given the opportunity to assist in the process of bringing about the return of our people to the land of Israel. In other words, you can help God bring about his plan for history. Mr. President, I bless you to be able to help God carry out his plans for our world. May he always be with you. May he put the right words in your mouth and guide you all your days. May he watch over you and your family. May you have success in all that you do. The president, he could see that, Roy could see that his words resounded, they resonated with the president. And then he wanted to give him a copy of his book, Central Park to Sinai, but the Secret Service said you can't give anything to the president. We have to check it out first, then we'll give it to him if we see there's nothing inside there. Okay. They're about to leave, and a presidential aide comes up to them and says, listen to this, thank you for speaking to the president. He needs to know that he has friends. Okay, he made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. What's my point over here, everybody? When opportunity comes your way, you have to grab it. Pliny Almighty had an opportunity. He turned it down. Roy Neuberger had opportunity, not to compare. But whatever happens to you in life, it's an opportunity. It came to you. Hashem didn't have to send it to you. If he sent it to you, it's there for a reason. So let's go into it hashkafically. How do we look at Pliny Almighty? Did he do something wrong? He's afraid of hurting his future descendants. The Chazal don't say anything complimentary about it. We look at him a little bit, they call him Almighty. He was an Elaim. He was blind to the words of the Torah. Right? Because really, you're supposed to marry him. Everything was unfounded. Your fears were unfounded. So the question arises, why do we look at him so harshly? The guy cares for his children. Isn't that the right thing to do? You want to marry off your kids to somebody. Maybe there's going to be a problem with it. Be mamzer. Who knows? You know, after the war, after World War II, there were many stories that happened where people had gotten a terim to get married, remarried. And then I remember hearing a story that was very, very hard to listen to about the Shabbos Erev. And during the Shabbos Erev, the Zaidi of the story gets up to speak, and he's telling the story about how he was saved from the Holocaust, and the Bobby of the other family faints because he realized she was her first husband. Can you imagine? Shabbos Erev. So there's a lot of stories after the war of people that found out there were stories. And then Lamafreya comes out. People are Mamzer. What do you want from him? Elowat. Tagib Yonason explains the meaning of the word Pliny. Tagus is playing him easy. He was a man who was private in his ways. Private. I don't want the limelight. This is too public of a story for me. To marry Rus, everyone's talking about it. I'm a private person. Leave me alone. Ich bin nicht der Mensch that I want people talking about. I'm not from those people. Let my cousin Boaz, everyone knows Boaz, he's a shofet, let him marry her. Comes the Mishmas Zov, he says, let me take it a step further. It's not so much that he was a private person. He was a little bit of a selfish person, he says. He was selfish. He had no interest in being a leader. He didn't want to be a leader. Boaz was a leader. He had no problem standing up and saying, okay, this is the situation. This is a shiloh. I have no problem taking a stand. I'm a leader. Boaz says, I'm not a leader. But we want you to be a leader. Being a leader is a chashuv thing. Taking a stand is something the Torah wants. We have to take a stand. Jewish people have to take a stand all the time. But Boaz says, I don't want to take a stand. That's not who I am. I'm not that kind of person. Lamaisa, he doesn't care about the kindness he'd be doing by redeeming Elimelech's field and by redeeming his children. And it's not just the kindness to Rus, but it's a kindness to Elimelech's whole family because you're giving continuation to the Mishpacha. And I told you, we said before, the Abikabala would have been a Gilgul of Machlas the Shama, would have been a continuation. So it's not just very nice, you're private, very nice, you don't want to have everyone look at you, but Lamaisa, you'll be giving tremendous kindness and continuation to your mishpacha. You don't care about that. So, no, the first thing, he cares about himself. I care about me. And this leads me to making to Eric with an unjustified fear of what's going to happen in the future. And it's not a result of your Shemayim. Because if it was, then Boaz wouldn't have done it. From the fact that Boaz did it, you can see it's not a problem. There's no halachic problem. Hashkafically, it's okay. You don't have to worry about it. It's not a problem. You're Shemai. You don't have to worry about Mamzerim. Go ahead. Don't be scared, Pliny. You have an opportunity. Take the opportunity. Run with it. Hashem gave you a chance. Again, is he a bad person? No, he's not a bad person. His name is Toiv. His name was Toiv. That was his name. Good. And usually the name of a person tells us who his essence is. So his essence was a good person. So what do we want from him? He was a good person. Was he a great person? No, he was a good person. But are we going to punish him? No, he doesn't get punished. You know what his punishment is? What do they say a form of Gehenna is? Seeing what could have happened and didn't. What you could have achieved and didn't. That's a special form of Gehenna. For Pliny now to sit in Shemayim, and every single day he wakes up knowing in Shemayim that he could have been the great grandfather of David HaMelech HaMashiach, and he didn't because he made a decision not to, is the biggest punishment a person could ever get in the world, because you know what you could have been, and instead you chose not to do that. Nobody forced you, and everyone gave you the chance, and you said no because of my reasons, and in the end, what happens? Someone else got the thing that you could have had, the huge thing which you could have had. Somebody asked, oh, it's from Weinberg. Why do I have to, isn't it enough? Why do I have to keep the Torah? Isn't it enough to be a good person? You know that line? I could be a good person. Right? So what'd you say to that person? I would have said to that person, which I said actually on the way here to England, in the airport, I was talking to this girl, she's reformed. She had a whole conversation. I missed that. I haven't traveled, I had missed all these conversations. And she said, you know, I'm a good person. What makes you a good person? How do you know you're a good person? Like, who decides you're a good person? Because what? That's a whole other thing, right? She didn't go in that direction. She said, yes, but in Yiddish, guy. It's not enough to be good. You have to be great. It's not enough to be good, Rabbi Isai. You have to be great. And Pliny Almighty could have been great. But he chose to remain good. He chose to remain good. And that's a tremendous Yisrael for us. For myself,
I believe, yeah, in life, a person gets opportunities, we receive opportunities, and this is something which Chazal will tell us. Why Chazal call him Pliny Almighty for? We call him Mr. Toiv, Mr. Good, you know? No. Chazal wanted to make a point, that to remind everybody, to reiterate, to make a big, huge deal about the fact that this man was given an opportunity for all time. They could have been Mashiach's great-grandfather, and he turned it down. And yeah, he had a reason. Rabbi said, this is what Chazal telling us. Don't be that person. An opportunity comes your way, grab it, take the risks, don't be afraid, and who knows, maybe you too, in your chance, will be the grandfather of Mashiach. In your life, that great thing that Hashem is sending your way is going to happen, but only if you take the chance. Thank you so much. A good Yom Tov to everyone.